It is that place in downtown Fresno where since 1955, Christ leads, people care, and lives have been changed. Welcome to Heartline, the weekly radio voice spotlighting the Evangel Home of Fresno. As I mentioned, since 1955, the Evangel Home ministering to women and children in crisis. Your Heartline host every week on the program is Jim Tuck. Here he is.
As always, we're so thankful to you, Ken Adams, for your efforts to make Heartline come to the radio in a presentable form after our conversations here. Jerry Brenneman and I are sitting, the two of us, in her office. And Jerry, coming up in just a couple of days, Christmas. And we're not talking with a guest today. We're talking you and me. And we want to talk about Christmas memories. We want to talk about other things Christmas as we look around in the community and just kind of unfold this and see where God leads our conversation. But let's start with Christmas memories. Now, you and I were both raised in Christian homes, and things were warm and fuzzy and all that. Do you have one or two favorite Christmas memories, maybe from when you were a youngster?
Oh, that's a... You're right. It was always a really nice, warm time. We didn't get tons and tons of stuff then, so there were specific years that are real branded in my mind about what I got. But I remember when I was about 11, and maybe the first year that we were allowed to open one present on Christmas Eve, because we always did it on Christmas, and, you know, begging. And I remember that year my gift was a transistor radio. Ooh, a little, you know, one of those little about 6 inches and yeah. A leather case that smelled so good and an antenna. And I remember what I think was laying in bed all night listening to my new transistor radio. That was really fun. Thinking about, you know, one of the things that still is not really my memory. It was a memory that my father shared with me about his Christmas. Mm. Because, you know, my dad passed away in 2007, and he would be, you know, 90 by now, I think.
Yes.
So, yeah, he was born a while ago.
A youngster through the Depression years.
Yeah, yes. And so when he would talk about, for Christmas, getting an orange,
yeah.
I remember at that time thinking, what, are you kidding? But I understand that, and so I can't do Christmas now without an orange somewhere, and I cannot think, I can't see an orange without thinking of my father. And I mean, he loved getting, maybe they got more than one orange, but how important that would have been in Ohio when it would have been freezing cold anyway, who would have oranges? But that was his gift a couple of years, oranges and walnuts. And I remember when he used to put those kind of things on our stockings, and I would think, what is this? This ain't no transistor radio.
Yeah.
But I get it now. I didn't get it then. And so I think that is really one of my most powerful memories. Mm. You know, one of my fun memories from here, remember Janice Woods?
Yes.
We love Janice. Janice was a very large African-American woman who was here when I first came to Evangel Home 25 years ago. She passed away several years ago and became part of our lives, made us part of her life through the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, whatever. We were all there. And I remember one, Janice used to dress up as Santa Claus. And so here she was, this very large African-American woman in a full, not Mrs. Santa Claus, but Santa Claus, with a big white beard and everything.
Wow.
And I remember one time one of the little boys that she saw sat in her lap and said, whoa, Santa is a black mama? That's a pretty good...
That's classic.
So that was great. Janice loved that. That, you know, that is up there with one of my favorites. Santa, the Black Mama. That was great.
So, what's your Christmas like now?
Here at Evangel Home,
well, or personal?
Personal is still family, and my mother, bless her heart, has said as long as she is living and can still decorate for Christmas and cook, she wants to have the family there. Mm. So that's where we typically meet in the morning. And you know, as you get older and everyone gains families and children, and you have kids that are trying to see everybody in the same day, and so they're eating five meals so they can please everybody. I think Thanksgiving gets a little chaotic because of that. But Christmas for me, for us, has really settled down into a, I think, a much holier and serene time. For me personally, my Christmas, I love the sing-along Messiah that we do at First Presbyterian Church. Love that. This year when I went, I opened my musical score. I don't sing, but I know now which part to follow, and so I can follow the whole thing right through it. But I had six or seven programs that fell out of that musical score, and then I realized that I have been going to that for a while. That is just a wonderful way to begin the season. And then the Christmas Eve church service, I love that. And if I took away the rest of the season and had those two plus, you know, some family gifts, that would be all I would need.
And what about here at the home? What happens typically at Christmas?
We have a very nice Christmas, nice quiet Christmas morning, and a meal that the women are allowed to invite family members if they want. You know, one of the things that happens, Jim...
Can I interrupt this? Now, the staff here at Evangel Home, do they just work their own home personal Christmases around... I mean, you've got food preparers and whatnot. You have staff here on Christmas morning then.
Yeah, and that gets very tough. In the old days, you remember Lily Sullivan?
Yes.
Lily loved to work on holidays.
I was going to ask you specifically about Lily.
Lily is struggling health-wise, but she's, we miss Lily. We miss that wonderful, I'll work on Christmas. I love to work on Christmas because now nobody really wants to work on Christmas. You know, you rotate vacations so that it's not the same staff all the time. I can be gone on Christmas with no problem, but the cook really has to have someone to fill in for her. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like at a school, you know, a principal is gone, nobody knows it. The teacher's gone, they get a secretary or a substitute, but if the secretary is gone, the school has to close down or whatever they call them nowadays. So it gets a little tougher to staff on Christmas. Ideally, we could have trained volunteers, but we cannot have a volunteer who calls now and says, I'd like to do that. We need to know and train the people. So we're rotating. We try to have a real skeleton crew and then make it up to the gals who are working.
It's kind of like radio.
Yes.
In the old days, now you just voice track everything. Yeah. The computer just spits out what you've recorded. But in the old days, that's not the way it was.
We do have Christmas sponsors for the gals in the programs. And, you know, that, again, Jim, is always a balance. You don't want Christmas to just become an orgy of giving and materialism.
Right.
But you don't want the women to feel left out. And then the community so much wants to give. So you have all of these things you're trying to put together so you don't have too much, but you have enough, and everyone's happy, and yet you have the right spirit of Christmas. So I'm thrilled with the Christmas sponsors. You know, we've streamlined it through the years that the women do not get to ask for things like a new car and a trip to Texas. They actually got one once. Women asked for a ticket to Texas.
Wow.
We didn't know that. And she got it. Oh. It's like, whoa. So that caused us to really look at the way we were doing that. It's a much better situation now. But one of the sweet things I have loved this year, I have seen at least three of our former residents who want to now sponsor somebody here. I think that's as good as it gets.
That's 2 Corinthians 1. Mm. Yeah. May the God of all comfort you, comfort you in your affliction,
right.
So that you may minister that comfort to others in like distress.
So I think that's as I said, that's as good as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. That's obedience to the word. I was going to say, let's look into the new year, but let's not. we'll hold that for another couple of weeks. What's... anything else seasonal? I mean, I don't want to go into all the particulars, but you were talking about some apparent scam people standing outside a retailer begging for money. What do people... You want to be generous. You want to have, like you say, the spirit of Christmas and demonstrate Jesus' love in the community. And yet, how do you do that with wisdom?
I think you have to know that standing on the street corner or standing in front of a store is a way to make money. And if that's how you want to support somebody, that's what you're doing. You're paying their wages, usually, so they can buy drugs. And that, I know that sounds harsh, but if you talk to almost anybody who works with real homeless people, they'll tell you that. We talked with Jennifer a couple weeks ago, and she said she would never, ever do that because she did not want to draw attention to herself as a legitimately homeless, single woman holding up a sign saying, I'm homeless, you know, follow me. So just be very, very careful. Most of them are scammers. I think
the traditional bell ringers are not, obviously.
I was going to say, the Salvation Army and folks that really have a track record, and we know it, and year after year they're there, and we can follow what they do. Give to places like that. Give, if you want to give money to someone on the corner, find an agency and give that money to them and let them help people who are getting off the corner. Mm-hmm. And I know I shared, Jim, that what really kind of, for some reason, you know, once in a while things will just really hit you that they're not right. And there's a guy that is always in front of Trader Joe's, or he's always in front of Best Buy. And for 2 or 3 months, he's been saying he's raising money to build a youth center. But when you stop and ask questions and you dig a little bit, I don't know where this youth center is going to be. And I would sure like to know where the money is going now. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, we need to be realistic about that. Where is the money going now? You know, some of the people that have been on the corners for years, what have they done with all of your money? Mm-hmm. Places like Evangel Home, places like Rescue Mission, places, I could name them.
Salvation
Army. Ask what we have done with your money, and we'll show you.
Yes.
You cannot find from most of those folks what they have done with your money. Now, again, just if you're going to give to them, know that's what you're giving to, that is indeed their job, to stand on the corner and ask for money.
Yeah, and if you feel led to enable them in their mm-hmm. lifestyle, then mm-hmm. I would question your definition of leading.
But one reason we have such a problem is because we keep giving them money. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at the kids who come to this town. You know, it's not just poor people that are... It's not just people making us think that's poor people you're giving to. There are a lot of middle-class kids, you know, older teens, who decided this was a good way to make a living. Just travel around and ask for money, and then you don't have to really do anything.
No.
So every time we give money to somebody like that, I think we're just really making the problem worse.
Mm.
And yet I've given money because once in a while something in you get nudged, and I can only assume that's the Holy Spirit nudge. Do we have time for my red carpet story?
30 seconds.
Ah, no, we don't. It's longer than 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, at any rate, thank you for sharing a little bit out of your personal background and history of Christmas and some of your views. So we want to pray God's rich blessings on our listeners, our supporters, and just say thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Continue to pray for us, friends. And, you know, typically year-end giving it becomes part of our lifestyle. We ask you to consider Evangel Home as you make those plans. We'll show you where the money goes.
Yeah.
Ken, it's your turn. Thank you so much for making our conversation into this edition of Heartline from Evangel Home of Fresno.
Reach the Evangel Home by phone in the 559 area code 264-4714. Again, 264-4714. If you're online, and just about the entire human race is these days, find the Evangel Home at evangelhome.org. And please make it a point of joining us next time for the radio voice of the Evangel Home in Fresno, Heartline.